Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now from the Republican convention, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayor, so nice of you to take some convention time for us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
What did you think of the speeches last night?
Well, I was there for Ann Romney's speech, and I was there for Chris Christie's speech. I thought both of them accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish. I was particularly impressed with Mrs. Romney's speech, only because she's not really a professional at doing that, and I know from having given a lot of speeches, it's really difficult at first. And I thought she was enormously relaxed, and I thought she delivered a very nice picture of her husband, what he's like, why she cares about him so much, and how hard he'll work for the country. And I thought she took on something he's been uncomfortable taking on, which is all these attacks on his success. I've kept thinking, my goodness, that's the reason I'd like him to be president, because he's been so successful in private life. I'd like him to have that same kind of success as president that he had for Bain Capital. And I thought she got that message across, that isn't a negative, it's a positive.
How would you compare what Governor Christie was trying to do for Mitt Romney in his keynote speech and what you were trying to do in yours for John McCain 4 years ago?
Well, I think we had different objectives from the convention. I mean, I think me, he had to give the speech the convention wanted him to give, pretty much, which was a philosophical one, one in which he was contrasting a failed presidency with a group of failed ideas, a lack of leadership, an unwillingness to take on difficult things like Medicare, his president's inability to get a budget passed, even with a Democratic Congress. He had to contrast that with a different vision of America, which is a more entrepreneurial one, one in which we'll take on some of these issues that Democrats have been unwilling to take on, the way like he has done and like the governors in four or five other states have done. So I think that was his mission. I think he accomplished it really well. In my case, my mission was to focus on President Obama's lack of experience to be president of the United States, which I'm very proud I did, because I think I turned out to be a prophet. The president has had a real failed presidency for 4 years, particularly in the area of leadership.
And the Democrats would have something else to say about that, but we'll leave that conversation for another day.
Of course they would, but I think if you look at the unemployment rate, the highest it's been since the Depression, the number of people that are permanently unemployed, the highest it's been since the Depression, his failure to pass a budget, even with a Democratic Congress. My goodness, I mean, this president, even his followers say he leads by following, which is an oxymoron.
Do you see some of yourself in Chris Christie as a tough-talking prosecutor turned executive?
I do. Even more than you would think. Like that expression he used last night that his mother said, it's better to be respected than loved.
Yeah.
My father used to tell me that. My father told me it's more important that you respect me than love me. And if you respect me, you'll eventually love me the right way.
I'm curious if you think that from either side of the aisle, there are pluses and minuses to this style. Eliot Spitzer is a Democratic example. You're all seen as take no prisoners guys, and you make a lot of enemies as well as a lot of friends along the way.
Well, I think what we're really good for is when you really have to change things. You know, I think Chris was the perfect choice as a governor of a state that was in a disaster in terms of its budget and economy, and needed somebody who's willing to take on things that other people aren't willing to take on. Somebody that's been in politics all their life, they've sort of, you know, go along to get along and get along to go along, and they're not willing to take on the kinds of changes that have to be made when you have to change a city, a state, or a country. So there are times in which we're effective and probably times in which we're probably not the right choice.
Does Christie's plain-spokenness and clarity of values rub off on Mitt Romney enough? Romney has been much more of a chameleon as a politician in ways that Christie hasn't.
Well, look, they're both different. I mean, Governor Romney's background has been enormously successful in business, enormously successful running the Olympics, successful as a governor. He's been more in the world of making very, very practical decisions, not in the world of ideology, which is why I think sometimes people wonder, well, he's had several different positions on things. He hasn't come at politics from the point of view of ideology. He's come at politics from the point of view of how do you get things done? How do you run Massachusetts as a business? And I think that'll be really good for us. I think he's going to be a very practical president. and I think we can use that. I think anyone worried about his excessive ideology just has to look at his past to understand that this man is essentially a pragmatist. He's a conservative leanings. He'll go in that direction most of the time, but I think by and large he's a pragmatist.
Do you see a parallel in that respect between Romney's starting point and yours in your presidential campaign? You both had to govern as Republicans in Democratic northeastern jurisdictions, then turn around and run a Republican primary campaign with that very conservative base. Do you relate to that?
Oh, sure I do. I mean, there are a lot of similarities between Governor Romney being elected in Massachusetts and my being elected in New York in a Democratic stronghold, or even Chris Christie being elected in New Jersey. I think when you get elected and you have to govern like that, no matter what goes on in a campaign and you say in a campaign, you learn the skills of being a practical leader. You know, somebody, I couldn't have everything I wanted. If I tried to get everything I wanted, I would have gotten nothing from a Democratic city council. I had to be willing to concede. I had to agree to programs I didn't agree with in order to get tax reductions that I wanted. So you learn how to do that. And I think that's something that was not, frankly, in President Obama's background. He has always, he never was an executive before. And he talked a very good game about being bipartisan, but he wasn't. He was the most extreme partisan in the Senate as a Democrat. And he's pretty much completely cut Republicans out. Even when he had a Democratic Congress, he figured he could just ignore them. So I think it would be good for this country if we have a president, no matter what they say during an election, who's willing to sit down with the Democrats and work things out, maybe a fresh start. And I think Governor Romney is capable of that.
But how do we know which Mitt Romney would be president? The pragmatic Romney care governor of Massachusetts you were just describing, or the more right-wing political persona he has adopted since?
I think what you're going to get is a pragmatist. I mean, you're going to get a man who wants to accomplish things, wants to get things done. I think ideology will guide some of that, but it won't have him in a straitjacket the way it might with someone who's been in politics all his life and is absolutely convinced that he's absolutely right about everything and can never change his mind.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, my guest from the Republican convention. By the way, as we've been doing with a lot of our guests on Radio Row, we just tweeted a photograph of him in a lovely yellow polka dot tie, I might say. So check it out. Follow me at Brian Lehrer. About New York City. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since you left office. How do you think Mayor
Hard for me to believe it. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe it, too.
How do you think Mayor Bloomberg has done?
Oh, I think Mike has done a great job. I look at the big picture, not the small little things that people might disagree about. He's been terrific for the economy of New York. He's kept New York safe. He's kept New York safe even against the extra pressures that he had that I didn't have about terrorism that that had become a much bigger and greater concern after the attacks of September 11. He's treated New York City as a business. He's run it out like very much what I'm saying about Governor Romney in a very, very practical way. And then I was really worried when I was leaving office before September 11 happened that a lot of the things that I started, a lot of the things that I changed would be all changed back. And instead, he's preserved them and he's made them better. The way he's used statistics and metrics to grade the government agencies and trying to get it away from just pure politics, I think has been absolutely terrific. And whoever succeeds him, I think it's really going to be hard to take the city back to pre-1994 after so many years of being governed in a more business-like way.
And, of course, the city hasn't had a Democratic Party mayor since you took office in 94, but I'm not sure there is a Republican or independent out there this time to challenge whoever the Democratic nominee is. Do you see anyone on the horizon?
So far, no one has come along. But, you know, when I first started in 89, I didn't really get started until February of the election year. Now, that probably was a mistake. But some of these challenges don't come along until the very beginning of the election year. So we're going to have to wait and see. There is a certain feeling that there could be room for a sort of independent candidate, but I don't know who that person would be right now.
You have anyone you would want to promote?
Oh, there probably are a couple, but I probably have to ask their permission before I promoted them. You know, that's the way it happened to me. Guy Molinari did it to me. I really wasn't thinking all that much about running for mayor. And it was right after the 1988 election. Guy Molinari was on one of the talk shows. And he said, and he was asked that question you just asked. And he said, well, this prosecutor, Rudy Giuliani, could run. He'd be good. There's a lot of crime, and he'd be able to solve it, and he's a tough guy and all this other stuff. And within a day, I got all these calls at my office, and that's how it really started.
Interesting history for those who hadn't heard it. Could you support any of the Democratic hopefuls, potentially? Christine Quinn, I'm thinking of especially, seems to be working hard to be broadly acceptable.
Well, I don't know if I could. I mean, I've supported Democrats before. Mario Cuomo was the most famous one that I did, but also I've supported some for city council and state assembly. I don't know if I ever supported anyone for Congress. I might have. Sure. I think about city politics, that you should get Democrat, Republican, all that stuff out of it. I would have liked to see nonpartisan elections.
That's Mayor Bloomberg's position, too.
Yeah, for the city, because believe me, Mayor LaGuardia, who is the predecessor that we probably all admire the most, used to say there's no Democratic or Republican way to pick up the garbage. You know, mayors have to make enormously practical decisions about what's best for their city. And the political parties don't spend, their ideology doesn't really spend an awful lot of time thinking about how cities should be governed. Most of the ideology is about how states and the national government should be governed. So you look at somebody like Rahm Emanuel, who's taking on the unions in Chicago.
Who'd have thunk it?
My goodness, right? Or Ed Rendell was my contemporary when I was mayor, and he's still a very good friend. And I don't think on issues involving the city, Ed Rendell and I probably agreed on 90% of the issues, even though he was a Democrat and I was a Republican.
I remember you coming into office saying Ed Rendell, who was then mayor of Philadelphia, was one of your role models.
Right. I invited him to Gracie Mansion about a month after I was elected to talk to my commissioners and give them sort of a briefing on how to conduct themselves and what to be expected of them. I had a couple of Republican and a couple of Democratic mayors come in. We had like a little private conference so that we could sort of get some advantage of their experience. And it's really true. I mean, mayors pretty much face the same issues, and about 90% of the time they come to the same answers, whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
As a New York Republican at these conventions, do you ever feel alienated from some of the more socially conservative base of the party? Mm-hmm. Even Paul Ryan, for example, saying no exception to abortion bans for rape and things like that?
No, because the reality is I agree on so many other things. And in New York, sometimes I feel more comfortable when I'm speaking outside New York, because then when I talk about my economic philosophy and foreign policy thinking, it's much more familiar and much more comfortable. I used to say about New York that people in New York agreed with the results, but not with the philosophy that got to those results. And I'm not at home either place completely, and I'm not foreign in either place completely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a foreign policy conservative, an economic conservative, and a social moderate. And there'd be people at this convention that probably think I'm a social liberal, right?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you
but
about...
that's the way I am, and I'm happy with it. And they accept me here, and they accept me in New York, but they'd all like me to be 100% the way they are, and I'm not.
One more of those issues, if I might. The party platform section on guns jumped out at me because it seemed to be written specifically in response to the movie theater massacre, digging in on no limits to the capacity of clips and magazines. We know Mayor Bloomberg thinks that's pretty awful. How about you?
Well, I haven't seen that part of the platform. Frankly, to be honest with you, Brian, I never read the platform. I haven't never read a platform. Don't think they really mean very much. I think that the Second Amendment gives people the right to bear arms, whether you like it or not. That's a constitutional right, as important in the Constitution as others. That doesn't mean there can't be reasonable restrictions on the right to bear arms, where we can make sure that somebody is a responsible person, is of the right age. I kind of think of it like driving, right? We have a right to drive, but we don't have an unlimited right to drive. We have to be of a certain age. We have to be able to physically function. We need to know the rules of the road, and if we abuse it, they can take away that right. And I think that's the framework in which I look at gun rights. The rights exist. but there can be reasonable regulation of those rights. And I'd have to look at the platform to see if it goes too far. I mean, I think Democrats go too far in trying to blame all crimes on guns, and Republicans go too far on resisting any form of reasonable regulation of the right to bear arms, which is an important one, but still one that can be regulated.
We have about 3 minutes left with former Mayor Rudy Giuliani joining us at the Republican convention. One other city issue, your legacy, along with responding to 9/11, is strongest on fighting crime. And these days, the city is debating stop and frisk, as you know, which Mayor Bloomberg and Commissioner Kelly are doing way more than I think was done under you. Maybe you counted differently, but 700,000 in a year, which result in only a 10% arrest or violation rate. And you've seen all the backlash to that. Does it give you pause at all that the police stop so many innocent people?
Well, you know, I don't know what the conditions are today. So I can only tell you what it was like when I was mayor. I was attacked for stop and frisk. In fact, Elliot Spitzer, as attorney general, investigated us. The Janet Reno Justice Department investigated us. They finally dropped the investigation for racial profiling because it turned out that like 7 out of 10 people that were stopped and frisked were African-American, and the theory was, well, they're only 25% of the population. But the reality was that if you looked at the number of crimes, you looked at the crime complaints, our police were being directed to stop and frisk African-Americans because other African-Americans were reporting that the crimes that committed against them were committed by African-Americans. So, you know, 7 out of 10 of the crime complaints, which generated from African-Americans, so they weren't racist in nature, came from African-Americans.
But the sheer volume of them, maybe the bar is too low. Some would say the bar is too low for what warrants a stop.
I don't know. I can't answer. I have tremendous confidence in Mayor Bloomberg and Commissioner Kelly. I think Commissioner Kelly has been a terrific police commissioner. He's had a deal with something that is much more difficult than you realize. You know, when I took over, crimes were through the roof. We had just been averaging 2,000 murders a year, 12,000 felonies a week. It was ridiculous. We were the crime capital of America. We were on the cover of Time magazine as the rotting of the Big Apple. In some ways, it was really hard to reduce crime and change the mentality. But in many ways, it's really harder to continue to reduce crime after you've reduced it so much. So Commissioner Kelly's done a great job. And I have to tell you, Brian, I suspect, and this could be my New York cynicism, that some of this stop and frisk thing is being done because they don't want Ray Kelly to run in the Democratic primary for mayor. I think some of this has been directed to stop Ray Kelly from running for office because he looked like a pretty powerful candidate and he kind of fit the profile of what you were asking me about before. And in Ray's case, he's a Democrat, but somebody who is sort of independent, outside of the political process. So I wonder if there isn't some political motivation to this also.
Before you go, are you done with the public sector for yourself?
Oh, I never say that. You never know in life what gets presented to you, what opportunities there are. I'm very happy. I'm not looking for anything else. I run a security business, a wonderful law firm, Bracewell Giuliani. I have plenty of time to get involved in politics, sort of with a lot of freedom now, and I give speeches all over the world. So I'm not unhappy in my life. I'm very happy, but I love public service, and if some opportunity came along that I can't conceive of right now, I probably would take it.
Governor Christie said he doesn't want to be Romney's attorney general. Would you consider that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. First he'd have to get elected, and then he'd have to consider me, and we'd have to talk about it, and there are a lot of other people as well, so we'd have to see.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, thank you so much for giving us this time.
Thank you, Brian. It was a real pleasure.